There are some persons you have around you. When God sends to a place, they don't miss target. Just like that David servant. He said, let me strike once. Once. Is that who missed target? In a few minutes. The person I want to call up very soon is someone dear to my heart. I love and honor him so much. In fact, you will see it around me. It's written all over. The honor. The love. He's the set man of Revival Hope International. At Mary. And seriously, God has been doing great things all over there. Really appreciate you, sir. Alright, the hour has come. And so with a standing ovation, I want us to welcome the ministry of our Papa, Apostle Edu Udechukwu.
Best we can have on this mic. Give me E. E or E flat. Try. Softer, softer, softer. 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 Make sure you find me. I want to celebrate everybody here. My God. My God. Go and sit down. Go and sit down. Go and sit down. You need to hear what I'm saying. Go and sit. Go and sit. I'm the one telling you to sit. Now listen, listen. I'm not a person that is given to honor. The way we are molded and crafted, we are not moved by men's opinion. You see, if you say I'm good, I'm not moved. If you say I'm bad, I'm not moved. There is one that gives us accreditation. His validation is what we seek. But I came here and I noticed that many of you is in the spirit. Because the kind of honor I saw, I've not seen it before. And honor can be seen in the heart that is poured into the things that people do. I've not seen it like this. And I'm, by the mercies of God, I'm a young man, but I've been privileged to take the gospel to the ends of this nation. I'm not saying affluence or things. I've seen big things and big places, but there is what is called honor. I've not seen it like this. And I want to celebrate you. I'm not an emotional man, but I'm not emotional. Hallelujah. I want to celebrate the Papa and Uncle. See, wait, let me tell you why you should clap. Everything rises and falls on leadership. If the two of them doesn't love Jesus, nothing will happen. I've been there, and I know that one of the major reasons why my engagement prospered when I was also the prayer sector was because my uncle and papa loved Jesus. They did not use their position to stifle the move of God, even when they can. Celebrate these two men. Celebrate them. Hallelujah. Then I want to celebrate the executives. Where are they? Where are they? You are executive. Why are you guys hiding? Clap for them. Clap for them. I heard incoming. Where are the incoming? Raise your hand now. I was once an incoming, Jesus. And those days, Clap for them, clap for them. And those days, they put us under scrutiny. If others cough, your own cough is different. They want to know why you should be there and others won't be there. What they didn't know is that certain things is by election. An election is by grace. It's not because you are better than others. But there is something God has seen. That's why you are there. And I want to celebrate NCCF. Zamfara State. NCCF Zamfara State. Clap for Jesus. Clap for Jesus. Hallelujah. I will prefer you do better on this mic. I don't want to shout. Jesus. Let's celebrate the one that sits upon the throne. The Almighty One. Lift up your hands and clap for Him. Jesus, my God. So as soon as I sat down, suddenly my eyes was opened in the spirit. And I saw a mighty angel. He was sitting at the top of this building, at the left hand side. And I began to ask God, what is the ministry of this being? That is when I began to understand what God told me. Because this morning when I was preparing, I knew what God sent me for, but I didn't understand the specifics. Are you with me? Because the power of God is released to the dimension of your obedience. And there is no obedience if there is no instruction. You become more powerful when you understand the specifics of the instruction. I fought a lot of warfare before I'm here. As soon as they put up the poster and said I'm coming here, Satan got angry. But I like it. I like Satan to be angry. Your life have not made Satan angry. What are you doing? Satan was so angry with Jesus that he killed him. He didn't know that in killing him, he released him. So I began to ask God. There is a prophetic word that God put in my heart. And what I notice is that God is looking for an altar that is high enough to release that word. A high altar in the spirit is not necessarily the place that has a big building. Do you know the covenant that God has with NCCF? See, the covenant that God had with this nation is tied with NCCF. NCCF is part of the reason that God won't give up on this nation. You don't know why you are here. This thing, as long as the fire in this place is burning, God can't, He won't give up on this nation. He can't. Young men will continue to pour the lifeblood of their soul, and as long as they pour it on this altar, God will continue to have mercy on this nation. I have a prophecy. Let's search the scriptures and see it. Then we'll begin to Isaiah chapter 10. Isaiah chapter 10. Still standing. Then we pray a little. Let's start. Let's look at verse 12. Read this a bit. Verse 12. See, this is the word of the Lord from this place. From this place. So, are you my friend or my enemy? This is the word of the Lord from this place to the rest of the northern part of this nation. See, the reason why I'm doing this is not because I have battle scars like the elders. It's not because I have too much experience like the fathers. No. I'm here like David, the young man David. And the authority of his prophetic engagement can be traced to his intimacy and the word of the Lord. That is where he derived his authority from. Are you with me now? Are you with me? So that is why he was able to appear at that battle and looked upon Goliath. Men looked at his stature. They didn't know that that man has been with God in the secret. And then the word of the Lord was upon his lips. Watch. So, after this meeting, you will now see what will be happening after now. I don't have time to explain what is here. Because God explains specifically what is here. I might just say one or two. But, verse 12 said, wherefore it shall come to pass that when the Lord had performed his whole work upon Mount Zion and Jerusalem, I will punish the fruit of the stout heart of the king of Assyria and the glory of his high looks. For he saith, by the strength of my hand I have done it, and by my wisdom, for I am prudent, and have removed the bounds of the people, and have robbed their treasures, and have put down the inhabitants like a valiant man. And my hand hath found as a nest the riches of the people, and as one gathered earth that are left, have I gathered all the earth, and there was none that moved the wing, or opened the mouth, or peeped. Shall the axe boast itself against him that heweth therewith? Or shall the saw magnify itself against him that shaketh it? As if the rod shall shake itself against them that lift it up, or as if the staff should lift up itself as if it were no wood. Therefore shall the Lord of hosts, send among his fat ones leanness, and under his glory he shall kindle a burning like the burning of a fire, and all the light of Israel shall be for a fire, and his Holy One for a flame, and he shall burn and devour his thorns and his briars in one day, and shall consume the glory of his forest and of his fruitful field, both soul and body. And they shall be as when a standard bearer fainted, and the rest of the trees of his forest shall be few, that a child might ride them. And it shall come to pass on that day that the remnant of Israel and such as are escaped of the house of Jacob shall no more again stay upon him that smote them, but shall stay upon the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in truth. The remnant shall return, even the remnant of Jacob, unto the mighty God. For though thy people Israel be as the sand of the sea, yet a remnant of the Lord shall return. The consumption decreed shall overflow with righteousness. For the Lord of hosts shall make a consumption, even determined in the midst of all the land. Therefore shall the Lord of hosts, O my people that dwelleth in Zion. Therefore thus said the Lord of hosts, O my people that dwelleth in Zion, be not afraid of the Assyrians. He shall smite thee with a rod, and shall lift up his staff against thee, after the manner of Egypt. For yet a little while, and the indignation shall cease, and mine anger in their destruction. And the Lord of hosts shall stir up a scourge for them, for him, according to the slaughter of Midian at the rock of Oreb. And as his rod was upon the sea, so shall he lift it up after the manner of Egypt. And it shall come to pass in that day, that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck. And the yoke shall be destroyed because of the fatness, the anointing. What I saw was the crossing of two rivers. And the Lord was telling me that the first was the Red Sea. And what will happen is, just as the scripture said, like in the days of Egypt, that they will chase. I speak in parables. That they will chase and think, just like they are doing before, that this time around, that they will be able to do it. They won't know that in the Red Sea is where their judgment is. And when the season is past, the lost people will emerge. Because God is using the season to do two things. Two things. We will have to pray in the next 3 minutes so that the Lord will confirm his word. I don't have time to interpret this thing to you. Actually, they are bigger than many people here. In fact, they are bigger than all of us. The word is bigger than all of us. But sometimes, I know you, we say understanding is powerful for participation. But if God waits for your understanding, many things will not happen. So most times he gives you instruction, speaks and expects obedience from you. In seasons to come, you will now begin to understand why God told you to do what he told you to do. Meanwhile, when he said it, you did not understand why. I want you to pray, Lord, the season have come. Let your word over this territory come to pass. Lift up your voice and pray.
Oh, speak from the heavens and the earth. We hear. Oh, speak from the heavens and the earth. We hear. My altar is calling you. Oh God, somebody pray. My altar is calling you. Oh God, my secret place is calling you. Oh God, Baratasasamreta Patahai Kapatia Apento Ratasasapante Lepequante. Oh, speak of the heavens, and yet we hear. Oh, speak of the heavens, and yet we hear. Oh, speak of the heavens, and yet we hear. Oh, speak of the heavens, and yet we hear. NCCM Zamfara, pray. And yet we hear. Oh, speak for the heavens. And yet we hear. Oh, speak for the heavens. And yet we hear. Oh, speak for the heavens. Oh, speak for the heavens. And the
In Jesus' mighty name. You can be seated. You can be seated. The consequence of a man's obedience cannot be measured in time. We have to travel into eternity to understand the consequence, the resultant effect of a man's obedience. Likewise, your disobedience. So when God appeared in the Garden of Eden and began to tell Adam, he said, "Look at this fruit, don't touch it." The man looked at it and thought that all God was saying is tied up to time, tied up to this realm. He didn't know that the one that was speaking to him is speaking from the eternal realm. I need a better mic. Jesus, help me. He didn't know that the one that was speaking is the one that is speaking from the eternal realm. His understanding transcends time. So when he speaks to you, he is expecting obedience. Because according to your limited understanding of the scope of God's work and dealings, you will not be able to enter into many things that God is speaking and demanding of your life. Your finite understanding of matters cannot comprehend what God is doing. So that is why most times he demands obedience from you. 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 That is why the Bible said in the book of Romans, he said, by one man's disobedience, the whole of the human race, we are tied into many things that they never understood. You were not there when Adam sinned, but you were counted in his sin. In like manner, the scripture also testified that you were not there when Christ paid the price, but you were included in the price that he paid. Are you with me now? So in those men's obedience and disobedience is tied the very destiny of generations that is yet to come. So when God picks a man and begin to give him instruction, the destiny of a generation is tied to the response of those men to the instructions that God is giving. But when that man begin to look at himself and try to understand what God is telling him to do by the circumstances that is around him, he will not understand where God is going. I went to Vet Mountain 2011 because my friend appeared to me. My friend came to me. He was my roommate and said, I want to go and fast this December. Can you join me? And it was in those days that I listened to a man and he told me, look at your Christian life. Powerless. You lack what it takes to enforce even the very things that God is telling you. You saw yourself in the dream when you are raising the cripple, when you spoke and men came under the convicting power of the Holy Ghost, only for you to appear in the natural realm and you lack the capacity to enforce the things that you saw. You saw where God enthroned you as the judge and the watcher over your family, but you appeared in the natural and your father died. That means you lack what it takes to legislate the counsels of God. Even though your ordination has been made clear to you, but the enforcing dimension of what God has decreed over your life is lacking. Are you getting the point now? So there are many things. I went to preach to a man and I was begging him to be born again. After begging for long, the guy laughed at my face. I said, why is the word not working? Papa, they said, if you preach the word, it works. But I preached, it didn't work. I said, why didn't my own work? That is when I understood in those seasons. Just because you quoted the Bible doesn't mean God is the one saying it. Are you getting it? Just because there are many people that can be quoting Bible, quoting that they quoted Bible, it doesn't mean God is the one saying it. So somebody come out and say, by his stripes I am healed. That he quoted that scripture doesn't mean God is the one saying it at that moment. Until you hit the energy point where that light was transmitted. Are you with me? Because what God said, everything that God said, he said it once. The manifestation and the capacity for that word to create in your life is resident at a point in the spirit where you hit the energy level that released that word in the first place. God just said, let there be light. Just once he said it. And every man enters into the economy of that declaration when he hits the energy level in the spirit where that word came out from. Are you getting the point now? So just because God said it, if you have not hit the energy level, you will not be able to enter into the experience, the power, the encounter that is locked in that world. So you see people living the very things that are written in the scripture and you are counted out. You are counted out because you have not hit the energy level. That's why many people say, some people come and tell you we are men of the world, we don't pray. I don't want to say what I want to say now. God, you say I'm harsh. Meanwhile, Jesus called people fools many times. Fool. Jesus called people fools. So if I say somebody is foolish, I'm not the first person. They didn't know, they are reading the word and cramming in their head. They said they are people of, let these people be praying. We are the word. You are very foolish. The reason why you are foolish is because you think you can communicate with the world by an effort of your own. This world has a will of its own. You see the word of God, it has a will of its own. Yes. Actually, what we call discoveries in the world is not discoveries. They are revelations. It means, you know what is revelation? Revelation is not the same thing as insight. In fact, insight is dependent on revelation. Revelation is that a vista, a realm that is closed up, is opened by an act of God's will. It's open. You lack the capacity to open the door. When that door of revelation is open, your capacity to enter deep into the recesses, the open doors and reaches that revelation can bring, is what is now called insight. So revelation is God's word. Insight is man's word. It is when God opens to us, then we enter. If he's not open to you, you can talk scripture from now till eternity. Those scripture is closed. And I found out that there is something that happens to a man that prays a lot. It seems when you pray a lot and then you come into the world, it will seem as if you appeared before the presence of a master spirit. He has the capacity to galvanize your soul. It will seem as if you are seeing yourself in the very words that God is speaking. You are carried in into the experiences. The power that is there will be hitting you at different energy levels. Those days when I was in campus, I'll be studying after praying and fasting for long. The power of the word will hit me sometimes when I'm studying, and I will fall on that power. And nobody is ministering to me. It's because I was able to trap that thing at this energy level. These are the things I began to understand, and I began to see God. It was in that fasting in the mountain that God spoke to me. He told me, I will give you a mouth and a wisdom that men cannot gainsay. Meanwhile, my name is Shedwo. When I was in primary school, I was the worst of the introverts. I was such an introvert that everybody would be playing and doing many things. I'll be watching them and smile. You know that kind of introvert that enjoys his life by watching others. People will be seeing me on the street and they'll be calling my siblings. This is the sister of, my name is Chinedu Talk. That's my name. Like, I can't talk. Oh yeah, talk now, Lotana. Talk. But when I encountered God, when he spoke it, as I'm saying, I didn't know the consequence of what he spoke. And after that time, after that fasting, I fasted for 5 days. It was in December. When I finished, I thought that that is where he ended. God now told me, give me a fasted life. I said, what? Meanwhile, I'm not here to tell you what is a fasted life, because it doesn't mean fasting every day. Actually, he told me, give me a fasted life. I didn't know the implication of such a regimented kind of life early in my journey. I didn't know the implication. I didn't know what God is trying to craft out. My sister, God met me a weak man. I am an embodiment of the truth that God can transform a man, that a weak man can be a lion. You know why I will always remain grateful to God? I know where he picked me from. I know that as soon as he leaves, I become the same person. There is no difference. But when God picked me, he started molding me. He gave me to those rich men. I began to yield to the spirit. I fasted. He told me how to fast. I fasted for the first month. Nothing happened. Second month, nothing. Third, nothing. Fourth, nothing. 4 or 5 days straight every month. Meanwhile, in this period, the church that I'm part of, the leaders, the most we pray in a corporate setting is 1 hour every week. I was fasting. I was fasting. You know, the problem with young men and people like this is that they fast for result. They fast for miracle. They fast. Me, I was fasting because of obedience. I was praying because of obedience. God told me to fast and pray. I'm not interested in the result. Let God determine what is result from my engagement. I lack the capacity because he's seeing from eternity. If you ever determine the impact of your obedience from time, you will miss it. You will miss it because you will think your neighbor is having more results. Just because the person maybe spoke or did something, and maybe Lotana did something and somebody fell on the power, and maybe your own has not happened, and you think his obedience is superior. Not necessarily. Because manifestation is not the accurate judge of obedience. We have to travel to eternity. Instructions for destiny, it comes from eternity. God hatches something in his heart, and he begins to look for men through which he will manifest his agenda upon the face of the earth. And when his agenda comes to you, it comes as instructions. When you begin to yield in obedience, the consequence can be transgenerational. God can begin to work on you, but what he's looking to do is coming in the next 200 years. Are you with me? Follow me. So when I fasted for the fourth month, fifth, sixth, seventh, nothing happened. Eighth, nothing happened. Nine, 10, 11, 12. I fasted the 13th one. I was willing to go for the 14th. I don't have any plans to stop. Suddenly, one evening, I finished my duties. I even ate that day. Some days I used to fast around the clock. But that day I ate around 6, 7 p.m. in the evening. In the morning I've been watching. Of course, that period I was watching and following Benihim and all those things. It was a strike period. There was strike. Then suddenly, it seemed as if the atmosphere changed. And the door of my room, room 314 in Ijoku, it was no more a door. It was a light. That was the day I encountered the God of Israel. Meanwhile, God has been doing things with my life. From that day, my life turned into something you can reckon with. Suddenly, it seems as if all my weaknesses were subsumed. People began to see me in a different light. The glory of God that I encountered there was so much that I came to meet him the next Sunday. As I entered into the door, I was not the head pastor. Everybody was falling under power. I went to prayer meeting with head hands. I was not leading prayer. They fell under power. Stood up, fell the second time. I wanted to fall my own because I was wondering why God is touching others and is not touching me. Only for me to realize that it was coming from my direction. When that thing finished, I thought that was the end. I didn't know God was just trying to show me just a little bit of the result that can come from obedience. Watch. Watch. So, when that one finished, God now, he now took me on a 4 month journey. And this 4 months is 4 months before my youth service. My youth service started in August 2014. Just 4 months before it. Every day. I can't tell you, some of the things that happen is unspeakable. Every day, all kinds of things happen. I didn't know that God was preparing me for a season to come. It was in one of those days that I had a vision. And in that vision, I saw our orientation camp at Shagam. I did my youth service at Ogun State. I saw it. That was when it became clear to me that I wasn't going for youth service. I was on a mission. You know why people come to youth service and they are doing many things, waiting for somebody to push them? They didn't know that they are on a mission. Me, I was on a mission. So as soon as I saw that I was on a mission, I entered into a fast. I was on a 72 days fast when I arrived orientation camp. So after 3 days, a witch now cried in the night. I said, I will kill you. Tomorrow morning, even Muslims began to call me pastor. I didn't say I'm pastor. You are not with me. If they call you pastor, then you are pastor. Your members of the church and can call you are not. But if those people call you, then you are. Because the criteria with which they judge is different from the one we used to judge. The general church setting. They can look at the way you are dressed. If you dress like a man of God, they call you. But all of us are in khaki and short. We'll go for Said and they'll be giving us lecture. I will be at the back. Katakwa. I'll be looking at people. They will think I'm seeing them. I'm communing with them that cannot be seen. Meanwhile, There is nothing so much that has happened. Even after those encounters, I never knew where we are going. I can't tell you the things that happened during my youth service. Because there are things that God told me when we did it for long. Then, one of those nights, our uncle, he sees vision. Kai is a prayer man and a fasting man. So one of those days, it is like a convergence anytime we meet to pray. So his eyes was open. I was not the one that saw, but I was the one. Let me stop that. So he saw an angel suspended between heaven and earth. And the angel was carrying a pot of fire. And the angel asked us a question. He said, "Do you want me to break this?" It took me 3 years to understand that angel. He broke the pot. Do you know what happened? When he broke that pot, men were praying as if prayer is their life. For 3 days, non-stop, prayer was going on, and we don't have a prayer chain. People forgot that they were going to their PPA, and nobody stopped them. Can you imagine, in a small measure, the consequence of a man's obedience? And imagine the consequence of the disobedience. It's unimaginable. It's unimaginable. You see, what litters the body of Christ is believers that filled everywhere that doesn't know what is obedience, that doesn't know what is consecration. They are just moving around. No power. Power is not really, see, power is not really what we call power. They are not able to affect their family, their society. They lack what it takes. Because when God gave them, told them to do something, they felt they can avoid it and then come back and do other things. So many of them left what God told them to do now and started doing it 2 years later. The season has passed, and the window of help that God releases to facilitate the obedience adventure he gave you, it has been closed. Because once God gives you an instruction, he releases grace for you to keep to that instruction. If God said give, encapsulated in that instruction is the grace to give. So that when you leave the season and then come in another season and want to give, you will so struggle. So when God comes, maybe when you are doing your service and say, pray, give, do this, do that. And then you now finish your service and then come out and decided to join. And then decided to travel to Zaria. Like some of my friends did now. They missed their time and then some travel to Zaria and Makodo. To go and, you know, now do what they missed. They went there, nothing happened. They came back like dry, like Sahara Desert. Because even those places lack what it takes to bring you to the place where your destiny is if you lack obedience. If you lack obedience. If you lack obedience. Swallow your pride. Tonight, come to the school of the Spirit. Don't you know, in essence, is the keys to eternal life. A little here and a little there, until the day we done is our work in you, bringing everything. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 1. If you are there, say amen. Maybe let's do 15 minutes Bible study. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider number one, what? Number two, what? Of our profession. Who? You see, concerning our faith and the ministry that Jesus brought, of which every believer please show me mercy now. Don't worry, leave it. Let me continue like this. Just leave it. Don't touch again. No. There are two key things we must understand if we will be correct and be able to participate fully in the ministry that is tied to our profession. How many of you know what is profession here? If you have some Bible that has lexicon, if you click on it, what you will see in profession is also confession. And whenever you see confession, it speaks about faith. Are you with me? In fact, the summary of what we believe in as Christians is what we call faith. Are you with me? So when we properly teach faith, it is beyond an instrument with which we engage. Faith is a life. The very life that the believer lives is called faith. Are you with me? So, but meanwhile, it means many things. Faith is one of the things that is a school on its own in Christendom. Now, but the scripture saying, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly what? Say calling. What is the scripture saying here? So, he now called you something. He said, holy brethren. So, it is because you have entered into that holy brotherhood that you became a partaker of what? A calling. Are you with me? If you are with me, say amen. We are about to go far, so you need to follow me now. So, the scripture is trying to say that for every man that became a participant in the brotherhood, that person also should have a part in the calling. Meanwhile, the scripture says, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession. So, whether it is the brotherhood and whether it is the calling, there is a being and a person that represents everything that we do in that realm. And the scripture summarized and said that our capacity as believers to enter into what he did and what he's doing is dependent on our ability to consider two things about him, the man Christ Jesus. He said what? His what? Number one, his apostleship. Number two, what? The summary of the ministry that Jesus carried is what we call his apostleship. What does it mean to be an apostle? It's the sent one. That means, if you are a sent one, what does it suggest? It means that there is a mandate. Is it not a mandate that demands you being sent? So, there is a mandate that is held up in eternity. And now, let me come down in our own realm so that you'll be able to understand this. Remember, the scripture was telling us in the book of Romans, it said that our elections is according to God's purpose. Huh? See, this is what happens. God holds, has a desire in his heart, and because of his desire, he has a purpose. When he has a purpose, he has a plan. Follow me now. So he has a desire, then he has a purpose, then he has a plan. So when God have crafted out a purpose, it is that purpose that demands somebody being sent, so that that same purpose will be what? Accomplished. So Jesus is the apostle of our high, of our calling. Eh? This is the reason. I hope you understand that even if you want to die for our sins, how many of you love Jesus and you can die for him? If you are in Zamfara, that means I'm doing this thing, that means you can die for Jesus. I'm telling you, it's not easy. I'm even surprised. People down there is saying that if you ask this question, they will raise their hand. But the people that is where it is hard, if you ask the question, they are not raising their hand. Is something that is strange. That means there is an understanding that experience gives to people. Meanwhile, that is not my point now. Hey. So, that is not my point. I'm trying to say that before God elects a man, there are many things he considers. And actually, when God sees men upon the face of the earth, what is important to him is beyond the human being. What is important to him is his purpose all the time. God has obligation to his purpose, not persons, actually. So what travels from the realm of the spirit is purpose. Are you with me? So he spoke to somebody like Jeremiah. He said, before you entered your mother's womb, what? I knew thee. And what? I ordained thee a prophet unto nations. So God had a purpose in his heart. And by foreknowledge, he began to bring men into that purpose that he had. So when those men appear upon the face of the earth, their usefulness, according to what God is doing upon the face of the earth, is tied to that purpose. Once they shift out of it, once they disalign themselves, they have stopped being useful, irrespective of whatever they are doing. So those people can die anyhow. Anything can happen to them. But once a man is tied to God's purpose, God is obligated to keep that man. Not just because of him as a human being, but because of his purpose that is tied to that man's life. Follow me now, follow me. So God had a purpose that is in his heart. Where will I start to explain the purposes of God? Okay, let me start from time. Because most people, when they explain the purposes of God as it's locked up in the work of Jesus Christ, they explain it from time. But actually, it didn't start from time. It started from eternity. But let me start from time. So, when you look at it from time, you will begin to count the things that Jesus did to save you. Are you with me? He came to die. And it is not just that Jesus is the one that died. He is the only one that could have died to save you. No other person could die. You remember that time that Pilate finished testing Jesus, and after all the things that happened, he came and said, "This is the man." It was beyond a decree, because Pilate then was representing the human authority that is upon the face of the earth, because he is a representative of the Roman government, and the Roman government is the ruling human authority that is upon the face of the earth. Are you with me? So when they decreed and said, this one we are seeing is the man, is beyond an utterance. They are just trying to say that today we have found a man that represented men. Meanwhile, before then, utterance have come from heaven. And the Father decreed and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am what? But it was not enough until men also acknowledged the same thing. It was when that heavenly witness and earthly witness met together. After that declaration from Pilate, then Jesus was qualified to die as a representation of all humanity. Are you with me now? I'm trying to say that he's only a certain kind of person that can die. Because it's not about dying, it's about the purpose that is in the heart of God. A man can die purposeless. And when you die foolish, if you die purposeless, you die the foolish death. Are you with me? There are many times they wanted to kill Jesus. He escaped. Is it not true? Because if he died that time, he's without purpose. And if you die without purpose, you did not achieve anything for God. We live because of purpose. We die because of purpose. So that at the end, every of our engagement is tailored towards achieving something that is calcified in the agenda of God. It is then that it will yield the fruit that God intended in his heart. Are you with me now? Follow me, follow me. We are making progress. So, Jesus is the apostle, meaning that there is a purpose in the heart of God. Are you with me? So, he became the man that came to accomplish that purpose. So, when he became the man that was sent with a mandate to redeem a race of men that has been dead in sin, that is why the scripture here said that he is the apostle. He is the one that is having the mandate. Are you with me? There is something I want to show you. Okay, why not turn to John chapter 20? See, originally, if you look at that scripture that we read before, the scripture spoke about partaking. When the scripture speaks about partaking, that means the people that are partaking are not the owners, they are not the originators. Is it not true? So you brought cake. Can I partake in your cake? Can I partake? That means you are not the owner. Is it not true? So, the man that wrote the book of Hebrews is trying to tell us that as far as ministry is concerned, that is tied to our faith, the owner of that ministry is who? You are now with me. That every other person that found himself in that ministry was because he what? Partook. So if you will be correct, this my man is with me, so let me be looking at him. So if, oh, you don't know. So if you will be correct in the dispensing of that mandate in the specific dimension that it was handed out to you, are you with me now? You will have to look up to the originator. You are now with me. It is in looking and considering the way that he discharged his own duty that you will now be correct in your own engagement. Are you now following me now? That is why he said, consider the apostle. So Jesus is the apostle. We, I don't want to say this, but actually from the realm of eternity, there is only one apostle. From the realm of eternity, there is only one prophet. From the realm of eternity, all these things are the ministries of the Christ. So, every other man that participated in the realm of the spirit, it is no human beings that God is seeing. It is no human beings that territorial beings are seeing. They are still seeing Christ walking upon the face of the earth. In fact, the degree to which you are successful is dependent on your alignment to the authority that set you forth. Are you not getting it? That is why ministry can only be dispensed to the degree of authority that a man has received. Are you getting the point now? We do ministry by authority. Are you with me? So that is why the scripture said Jesus took captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Actually, the right rendition is not giving gifts to men. He gave gifts of men to men. So, that gift there is not a gift of things, it's a gift of men. Are you getting the point? So, when he spoke apostle, he's a man. Meanwhile, that apostle now is a representation, a dimension of a ministry authority that Jesus carried in his person that was only able to release itself such that other men can participate in it as a result of his resurrection. Are you with me? It is resurrection
In fact, beyond resurrection, it is ascension. In fact, beyond ascension, it is coronation. It is from that place that Jesus sat that he began to release the... You have seen it now, Ephesians chapter 4. He said, from on high now, he now released those things. So, the implication of this is that when a man that has a calling is dispensing his ministry, the extent of his authority and the height of his ministry can be traced to where Jesus is sitting. So when you become aligned well enough, and Satan is seeking you, when he reaches the end, he will see Christ. So when Satan look at believers that are aligned to God's purpose, he is not seeing them, he is seeing Christ. That is why he can't harm you. That is why he can't wake up one morning and say, I will kill you, that you should stop what you are doing. Is it not Jesus that sent you? If Jesus sent you, don't look at your age. If Jesus sent you, don't look at your pocket. If Jesus sent you, don't look at your surrounding. Look at the one that sent you. Consider. Are you with me now? John chapter 20 verse 21. Now, see, the scripture there said, can you give me? I want to just show you something. And then we go in. I'm laying a foundation. We are going to priesthood. Ay, Jesus. You don't know what is priesthood. There are things I know. I'm not sure I'm permitted to say them. I'm not sure. Because many people here can't bear it. Jesus came to a point. He said, I have many things to say, but you can't bear them. It means you lack the capacity to interact with that dimension of the earth. When you say those things and you are saying, many people will be struggling with it. They'll be struggling with it. In fact, some people, it's not just that they will struggle with it, they will take it and try to live it or do it from their standpoint, and they will miss aim. Have you heard what was written in the book of Timothy? I think 1st and 2nd Timothy said, some people not understanding the scripture have erred. In another translation, like recovery version that Watchman Nee uses, they called it the people misaimed. See, so in Revelation, we are shooting at a point. A man that have not received the capacity to walk with a certain dimension of truth, in a bid to feel among or interact with that level of revelation, we miss aim. For sincerity, you will still miss aim because you lack the capacity to interact with that level and dimension of truth. So there are many things we struggle to enter into at certain stages in our walk with God. God will hide it for us. Because as of that moment, that level of truth will harm you. Meanwhile, it's truth. Are you with me? So, watch. Then said Jesus to them, peace be what? As my Father had what? Even so, what? Are you getting the point now? It is not about that Jesus is sending them. That's not what I'm trying to tell you. Remember our context. Our context is consider. Say after me, consider. There is a way the Father sent him. So he said, my Father sent me. Even so, what? Send I you. Oh. So Jesus is the real person that was sent. Jesus is the bearer of the mandate. Jesus is the bearer of the calling. He just took us so that we participate in it. So the very way that his Father sent him is the same way he's sending us. And if it is true, the very pattern, when I say the same way, I'm not just saying, when people think of the same way, they're just thinking about many things. No, I'm saying, if there are ways that Jesus stepped out, the very process, the very regime, the very things that Jesus heeded to accomplish or do his own calling, if you want to be correct, then you have to follow that path. Because as his father sent him, even so, what? That is why the writer, the apostle that wrote this, the book of Hebrews, said, you have to consider Jesus. You have to consider the apostle of your high calling, who is the one that have the calling himself. And that man, there is a way his father sent him. And he's telling you in the book of John, that the same way his father sent him, even so did he what? Send you. So if somebody perceives as, and you need to know, if you are in Christ, there is a calling on you. I don't mean to carry microphone on. As a matter of fact, where we are going now, the reason why everybody is rushing to carry microphone is because the witness capacity of an average believer has reduced. In the Bible, in the days of the apostles, you can interact with a man in the street and call him a Christian. Eh? They don't have any special dress code. They don't have titles. They don't have anything. But when they stay long among you, you will call them Christians. They, as a matter of fact, it was not believers that called themselves Christians. It was people that saw them living in a certain way that called them what? Meaning that the way you are living like this, I have seen somebody live like this. The way you are behaving, I have seen somebody behave like this. But today we do many things. Aha, he's working now. This is the best now. Glory to God. The way we see you living now, we have seen somebody live like that before. Are you getting the point now? So that is why they call them Christians. It is not necessarily because these people went around and began to say, we are like this, we are dressed in a certain way. It's people that are telling me now that I'm a man of God, that I should be dressing. If the only way you know who I am is by my dressing, I'm gone. You see, the reason why the Christian faith came down to what it was, what it is now, is because our witness power has been reduced to externalities. So if there is no external way to judge, you can't know. Meanwhile, Paul said, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. But what you see now is people trying to trace you. I'm telling you, many people make the mistake. I've been to many places that people scorned me, downplayed me, did all kinds of things until I finished preaching the first night. Then they started calling me daddy. I said, who is your daddy? You don't know your daddy again. My father in the Lord, Apostle Arome, sent me to represent him in one JCCF crusade. So the JCCF president now took the mic when I came in. Instead of him to just close his mouth, he said, brethren, you should not be frustrated. You should not be downcast. You should not be discouraged that our father, Apostle Arome, is not here. God can use anybody. You know that kind of thing that they spoke about the donkey? If God can use a donkey, he can use anybody. You know what? I didn't feel it. I didn't feel it because I was full of the Spirit. Where I was floating, the words can't touch me. Because the only way that arrow, because it's an arrow that's set and shot, the only way that arrow would have entered me is if I wasn't full of the Spirit. As soon as I stood on the stage, I said, how many of you know who is Apostle Arome? If he sent me, then you must know I have something.
If he's the one, just like me, I can't send you if you are a fool. If he sent me, then he knows I have something. I think Shoma was in that meeting. Where is Shoma? You were there now. So Anam said, we have not prayed, we have not done anything. I said, I was praying and I saw 40 female judges in a crusade ground. Have you preached in a crusade ground before? It's different from preaching inside here. Because you are subjected to atmospheric conditions. Yes, it's not the same thing. Have you tried it? Your anointing will lift. Because it takes a different grace to do it. If you are a man that works with the atmosphere, that keyboard and everything produced all the time, you will be in trouble. You need to know how to carry your own entourage. So when I came, I said, 40 of them. Holy Ghost, help me and find them. Then what happened was not, it was not people falling under power. It was people, it was like they threw a bomb into the congregation. People were quaking. There is a young lady that stood like this. Suddenly the power of God threw her like this. Boom, boom, boom. And if you refuse to come out, it will be throwing you to the front. Blind eyes, all kinds of things were happening. When it finished happening, as I was going back to the car to go, you know, when I came, you understand. When I came, the protocol were eyeing me like this. They were eyeing me. So when I was now leaving, they were now rushing to go and put me in the car. I said, oh God, come on from my front. The men are calling me Papa and Daddy now. See, if you live by men's opinion, you will die very fast. Even Jesus came to a point. Jesus never for once accepted people's opinion. Even when they are praising him. If there is one time Jesus asked for people's opinion concerning him, it was his disciples. And when he was asking them, he was not expecting the answer from them. He was doing a litmus test. He was checking to know whether it is time. Are you with me? See, he was looking to know whether the time to die has come. Because that is the next stage of his ministry. And it seemed as if the one that sent him told him, the way to know is to ask this question. And if anybody amongst your disciples is able to answer it, then it's time. So when he asked the question, somebody answered it. He said, it's only my Father in heaven that can show you this. As soon as he finished, he now began to tell them how the Son of Man will die, go to Jerusalem, after 3 days he will rise up, and all those things. So he is waiting for that answer. And that answer is a confirmation from his Father that the season to enter into a new stage in his ministry have arrived. Not necessarily because he was looking for accreditation from his disciples. Are you with me now? Consider. Let me show you. Think two more things. And then we begin to look for prayer points. How many minutes do I have? You know, are you with me? When I was taught in ministry, in those days in school of ministry, we are taught that a good teaching or preaching should end in a decision or in a prayer. I just taught you a secret now. So, there is something that is happening here, actually. When Jesus said, as my Father sent me, even so what? Send I. But there is a secret that, there is something I need to tell you, I need to show you now. Help me, my brother, help me open to John chapter 13, verse 4. John chapter 13, verse 4. John chapter 13, verse 4. You see, even though Jesus said, as my Father sent me, the same way I'm sending you, it is not enough. It is not enough. It takes a baptism by a spiritual ceremony. In fact, are you with me? Remember, we are talking about calling now. I don't want to go to what happened before calling. I'm looking at calling. I will show you something in this scripture. Concerning calling, there is something Jesus is trying to teach us here. There are things you need to consider. Now watch, he said, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and what? And girded himself. Meanwhile, when you look at what is about to happen here, you will think it's a normal occasion. It is a natural thing, the normal service that people used to hold. But today, even though it's a normal service, God is using an occasion of a normal service to bring in a cargo into the territory, bringing a cargo into the climate. He is bringing in a cargo. That is the only way to do it. So, people that are not in the spirit will think that this is another occasion. For example, you know that at the dedication of the baby Jesus, they just took the baby, just like they are dedicating every other baby. Many people there sat. They didn't know that a spiritual ceremony is taking place. Just like God is putting hands on many people already. When people like us minister, forget what I'm saying. It's what is happening just because I'm here. Yes. It's what is happening just because I'm here. So, the scripture said that at the dedication of baby Jesus, that a man came into the temple. His name was what? Simeon entered the temple. And the scripture said he came by the Spirit into the temple. Aye. That means a man of the Spirit is the only man that have the capacity to be correct. It was because he came by the Spirit that he was able to trace that what was happening physically was actually a spiritual ceremony. He said, now lettest thy servant to rest in peace, for my eyes have seen the salvation of Israel. What people there didn't know is that God has used that physical occasion to orchestrate, to bring a cargo. The baby is a cargo. A cargo that the intent and purpose that is locked up in it is the salvation of Israel. But what men saw in the natural is a dedication of another baby. It took a man that came by the Spirit to bring interpretation to what is happening in that time. Are you with me now? It is alignment and trajectory. Is only possible when an interpreter comes and by his interpretative grace sends an alarm to men. And then men will begin to take their journey as a result of what that man said. Meanwhile, that man wouldn't have been correct if he didn't come by the Spirit. So he came by the Spirit. So he was able to interpret that what they thought was a physical ceremony is not a physical ceremony, that it is a spiritual ceremony. Follow me now. So if it is true that it is a spiritual ceremony, then it is not possible for God to bring us into certain seasons without baptisms in seasons of spiritual ceremonies. That is how God inducts functionaries that we represent him in the mandate that he has in a season. Let me say what I said again, because I know you didn't hear it. I know you thought you heard, but you didn't. So God has a mandate locked up in seasons. And for him to actualize it, he brings men into it. How does he do it? He does it by baptism. When does baptism take place? Say spiritual ceremony. Yes. So I can go on and on in the scripture. John is used to baptism. He baptizes men at Jordan River. Meanwhile, baptism he is doing, he is baptizing people. They didn't know that he is there for a purpose. The one that sent him to baptize. And that baptism will be a system through which he will identify the Messiah. So he is doing baptism and waiting for the day that the ceremony will be organized. Once the ceremony was organized and that thing happened, he now told his disciple, follow him. We have finished our job. So locked up in that physical engagement he is doing is a spiritual ceremony that God has organized. And by that baptism, the normal Joseph's son, that is the carpenter, was baptized to become, he was inducted as a functionary of a new mandate that has been released from heaven. And from that day, the regime of John ended. Are you with me? So it is not enough. Men have to be inducted. Now look at, show me my scripture. Look at what is happening here. I will show you. Help me. Okay? He rises from the supper and laid aside his garment and took a towel and girded himself. Next verse. It should be 5. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash what? This is feet washing. What is feet washing? There is what we call the spirit of revelation. He's not turning Bible up and down. The spirit of revelation is looking at a scripture and enter into the heart of the one that inspired it and find out the reason why that text was inspired. The very reason. Are you with me? The scripture is condensed. So look at it. And began to wash the disciples and to wipe them with towel wherewith he was girded. Next verse. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not. What? He doesn't know what is happening. But thou shalt know hereafter. I will show you that Peter knew hereafter. Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered and said, and answered him. Let's read it together. If I wash thee not, thou hast what? You didn't see what is written there. He didn't say, you have no part in me. He said, you have no part with me. Speaking about what? Ministry. Part in me is different from part with me. Follow me. Next verse. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. The guy is missing it. This guy, he used to talk. Are you with me? So, Jesus said unto him, he that is washed needed not save. That word save is except. Huh? You are not with me. Two things are being compared here. There is a part in him which happens to a man at regeneration. That one is being brought into the experience of the faith. Meanwhile, the participation in the ministry that comes as a result of being brought into the faith is dependent on a spiritual ceremony that is called feet washing. Are you with me? That is part in ministry. So Jesus is trying to tell him that if you are now, because Simon, that is Peter, is trying to and relate the washing as a cleansing and sanctification. Meanwhile, are you with me? How many minutes do I have? Okay. Did you pray? In the next 10 minutes, try. So, Jesus is trying to tell him that what makes men clean is an automatic. What makes men clean is automatic once they have a part in him. This he's speaking, talking about the justification that comes upon men as a result of the faith that they expressed on Christ Jesus. So when a man does that, his sins are what? Passed away. Lo, all things have become new. But he said, when this one happens now, you are already clean, save, except that it takes something more. for a man to now participate in ministry. So you now see. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Remember, we are saying consider. So we are considering somebody. That's why we are here. He said, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. Are you with me? So there are two things that are being juxtaposed here. One is the cleanliness that comes to you as a result of the atonement and the washing that came because of the blood. That is the experience we entered into when we had faith on what Jesus did upon the cross. Then after that time, there is a ministry. Remember where we read, holy brethren, partakers. So before a man, are you with me? Something qualified this man to be partakers. Is it not true? What is it? Say holy brethren. That, what made them holy? What makes you holy? You will see people will fail this question. Sister, what makes you holy? Huh? I am not hearing this. If I say answer me and win 1 million, now you will answer me. What makes somebody holy? Huh? You did well. Is the Christ in men that becomes every other thing that God intends. 1 Corinthians, is it not chapter 2? He said, Christ have been made by God, Christ have been made to us what? Wisdom, power, sanctification. Are you with me? Sanctification. So, when God installed Christ in you, the same software have the capacity to sanctify your whole being. An attempt to reach the point of sanctification in experiential dimension, excluding the things that Jesus did and the means that Jesus did it, and the office through which Jesus did it. I hope you know that Jesus Christ is a person and an office. The means is Christ. The office is Christ. Are you with me? So it's not just that a man is sitting in an office and doing something. The means through which he is doing that thing also is still Christ. So, what? The only way for him to accomplish that, once he puts Christ in you, that is the hope of glory. So, every other thing that God is seeking can be accomplished as a result of that installation of Christ inside of you. All you need to do is to tune to that demand that is needed in that season. I will get to it. That is part of the high priestly ministry of Jesus. So when you tune to it and make a demand, because you have by revelation understood that this thing I'm looking for is part of what is installed in the whole software that came into me as a result of the advent of Christ. Are you with me? By revelation, when you understand that, you begin to press for it. Then there is a throne that administrates the organic dimension of that reality. Once you press, then that throne begins to administrate. Follow me now. So, meanwhile, when he spoke this thing, he said, ye are clean except one. When you now read the book of, is it not Acts chapter 2? They now began to speak. Can you open it? Acts chapter 2. When Judas, they took his ministry. Are you with me? Jesus is telling them, I'm washing all of you. But one, Jesus Christ. Jesus washed somebody's feet and still said one is not clean. I'm trying to show you that what is happening is not the physical ceremony. In the physical ceremony is locked up a baptism in the spirit. So that even though he washed the feet of 12, he still said one is unclean. So that means that one that is unclean actually did not have part with him. Are you sure? Chapter 1, verse 15. Open for me. Okay, and in those days, Peter stood in the midst and said, the number of names together, we are about, go down. He said, are you with me? Watch this scripture now. For he was numbered with us and had obtained what? So, what is the focus here? Say ministry. To show you what was happening in the book of John chapter 13. That, are you with me? That what Jesus was speaking about is actually ministry. Meanwhile, I don't even have time. I think, is it not in the book of Romans? Romans chapter 10, verse 15. The scripture said, if in case you want a literal explanation, the scripture said, how beautiful are what? Representing to you again that what the scripture, what Jesus meant by that physical thing he was doing is that he is exemplifying that in that day, inside the physical ceremony is an induction by induction of new functionaries into a mandate. He is doing something in the physical, but God is using that occasion to bring a cargo. And when that season passed, when men looked, they now saw new functionaries. Things that were never there before. Normal men began to manifest. Such that after that time, when the Holy Ghost fell on the door of Pentecost, because the Holy Ghost will fall here. You know, well, amen. But whether you say amen or not, that one is something we have already read. It's good you say amen for your own faith. When the Holy Ghost, they now began to do things. And the people that used to know them before, now we are shocked. They say, we know Peter, he's a fisherman. What now happened? The scripture now said, they took knowledge of them. And found out that they are what? They partook of that man's ministry. I think we have done justice to his apostleship. I said we need to consider two things. Number one is what? The second one is, actually, that's where I'm going. I'm not sure. We'll not be able to finish, but let's start. What is priesthood? You have been saying priesthood all the time. What is priesthood? You don't need to give me big. What do you think? It should be correct. I just want to hear from you. Priesthood is not prayer. Prayer is the highest molecule in priesthood. Priesthood is not just prayer. Who knows what priesthood is? Sister, do you know? No, you are looking at the back. I'm looking at you. My friend, answer now. You have become my friend now. Just try. You are not impressing anybody. Just try. Please clap for this guy. You are not clapping. Clap for this guy. You are not the one that said this thing. It's the Holy Ghost. You don't know it. You just read out of my book. That's how I know he is not the one. You see, God has a purpose in his heart. And the instrument and technology through which he achieves that purpose is what we call priesthood. Are you with me? That is what is priesthood. And if it is true, I hope you know that everything issues out from God. And if beyond God and we, any other being that wants to achieve any other purpose on this universe of God can only do it by the means of priesthood. There is no agenda that can prosper in this territory, good or bad, from whatever place, if the priesthood is not strong enough. Eh? When you look in a territory and you see the power of what Satan is doing, the first thing that should occur to you is that there must be a priesthood that is strong enough that is powering this agenda. Are you with me? That is what occurs to you. That means God's plan and agenda from eternity reaching into time is tied to priesthood. What is priesthood? Remember the man that spoke in the book of Hebrews, he said, consider a man, Christ Jesus. And he gave us two dimensions. The two places we need to consider if we have to be correct. Remember the part that I showed you. I showed you that the calling of God upon your life is for you to participate. And if a man will accurately participate, there are things you need to consider. Are you seeing it? He said that one, you have to consider his apostleship. The second one, you have to consider his high priestly ministry.
Getos taparahatai. Kambeto koska batari kapatwande. Stibata katia. Pata katua barasatea. Pande katusa. Ekapia katela. Satatai. Padua katia. Satia barasa. Pande kota. Akietaya. I am the one that is calling you. Shuda paliatamantea kubara satande hikotalia. Listen to me now. The plans of men and the plans of God is tied to priesthood. And the priesthood I talk about is not just the things that are bound and tied to time. Remember that God is eternal, and if he's eternal, then his plans and purposes is reaching out from eternity. So when men look upon the face of the earth, men that are limited, short-sighted, they will not see the things that God is doing reaching out from eternity. They will know that before that thing will manifest upon the face of the earth, a priesthood with a measure that is filled to the brim. Are you with me? When we get deep into this teaching, you will now see the relationship between priesthood and incense. Because until a priesthood reaches a dimension in the spirit where the incense is strong enough to bring down the hand of God, then the one that sits upon the throne that is just cannot stretch forth his hands. Because he lives, he does his business by priesthood. This is an eternal order. That is the only way that the man that sits upon the throne can bring his cargo from Zion into Zamfara and northern states. By priesthood. Altars that are born with fire. So anytime a man begins to tread the path of priesthood and understand the ordinances, offer sacrifices upon the altar, then God will come. He will come because his purpose is he tied to men of the altar. That is the only way you can make contact with that eternal being. And through the effulgence that came out of your intercourse, you will begin to legislate his counsel upon the face of the earth. Men will make decision today. I can't be alive and God is looking for men. Why are you here? Why are you here? Why are you here and God is looking for men? He's looking for me. He said, I look for a man to stand. I look for a man. Why is the daughter of Jerusalem ravaged? Is there no palm in Gilead? Is there no one to say, restore? Let the hand of Satan be stayed. Parahasasani. Ambrekata barahasa, prente kotalia, ambreka patabanta, sita ramanteka, ambreta babosata. Maybe tomorrow I will begin to show you. priesthood did not originate from man. In fact, if we begin to compare and then we begin to look at the scripture, that is what we call the principle of biblical interpretation. The first time that the word priest is mentioned in the scripture, it was from the eternal standpoint. In the next 5 minutes, the hand of God will break out in this place. We welcome the ministers of the seraphs. 5 minutes. Of the seraphs of fire. Hey! Oh! Hey! Listen to me. Listen. 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 You see, the scripture spoke in the book of Genesis chapter 14. He said, when Abraham finished from the warfare, he met Melchizedek, the king of Salem. He said, he's the priest of God. The priest of God. And when the scripture began to interpret to us the dimension of that man, he said he doesn't have any descendants. He said he operated by a function of the endless life. It was then that we began to understand. Reduce a little. It was then that we began to understand that the functions of priesthood transcends time. That is something that is bound up with the eternal purposes of God. You see, when the scripture is telling us, he began to show us in the book of Ephesians that there is an eternal purpose that is bound up in the heart of God. It was then when Melchizedek appeared to somebody like Abraham. What did he offer him? What did he offer him? Bread and wine. Because that is the instrument that it takes for men to come into maturity in the spirit. Are you with me? So, a priesthood is eternally tied to sonship. The question you ask yourself is, what is the eternal purpose of God? The purpose that is locked up in the heart of God. Why did he create man? How did he create man? When he created the man, even though Adam appeared as a full grown man, but in the spirit he was still a baby. The intent of God is that if that man treads the path of priesthood, after some time he will be a matured man in the spirit, a man that is equipped to be able to live the days of God. I'm trying to tell you that the extent to which we can represent God in this territory is bound to our priesthood. It is in priesthood we gain stature. It's in priesthood we gain alignment. It's in priesthood we gain authority. It's in priesthood we gain power. How long will you limit God? How long will you limit God in your life? How long will you limit God? How long will you limit God? Many times we are begging God to come, meanwhile we are the one limiting him. How large is your priesthood? How loud is your altar? We make a cry, meanwhile our altar is weak. It cannot cry to the heavens of God.
Hayako.
When a man says he has found out his purpose in God and doesn't engage in priesthood, he lies. The proof you have found purpose is how much you engage priesthood. Because the only way that you can actualize the purposes of God upon the face of the earth is to the extent that you have engaged priesthood. Are you with me? That is why originally when God created man, He wanted man to be a priestly king. Even in the new creature, the scripture said that he has made us kings and priests unto him. Meaning that his purpose is eternally, is tied to priesthood. Priesthood is not a choice. It is something that is wound up and bound into you. So that if you will come into the fullness of the stature, the man that God has ordained, that have what it takes to legislate and administrate your destiny, then you will have to give yourself to priesthood. That is the only place that you will enter into what it takes. He said, consider the apostle and high priest. The scripture is trying to tell you that the way that Jesus was able to achieve his ministry is through priesthood. He gave himself to priesthood long enough that he became by stature what it takes for him to administrate the purposes of God that was tied in his ordination. I want you to lift up your voice and cry in 2 minutes. Ask God to touch you so that you will touch your world. You are not praying. Ha 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 ha!
Yeah. Wherever you are, close your eyes. Close your eyes. Make a commitment to Jesus. Make a commitment to Him. Because after this night, you will begin to have power with God. Wherever you send me, I will go. Wherever you send me, there are 18 people I'm looking for. I will go. Wherever you send me, I will go. Ushers, bring them out for me, ushers. Ushers, bring them out for me. Wherever you send me, close your eyes, close your eyes. I will go. Wherever you send me, make decisions. decision. When you make the decision, then Jesus will come. Ushers, bring them for me. I need to push them. I need to pray for them. Their life will change after now. Wherever you send me, oh, how will go? Ushers, please help me and bring that lady now. Be fast. Bring that guy. Be fast. We are the ushers. Usher, come and be. Become an usher. Bring all these people out. Wherever you send me, oh, how will go? Close your eyes. Lift up your hands. Wherever you send me, wherever you send me, Harugo. Wherever you send me, 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 send me. Send me, 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 Holy Ghost, send me, send them, send them, send them.
In Jesus' name, it is. So the Lord will elect men. It will be an operation of God. He will elect men. All you need is a heart that cries out. 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 Please lift your hands. Lift your hands from my front to my back, from my left to my right. Men and women, find amongst us. Find amongst us. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now, you are prayed. Let me pray for you. Lift your hands. Close your eyes. Father, in the name of Jesus. Take an occasion, Holy Ghost. Take an occasion. 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 Take an occasion.